You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 39 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I am your host, Dion Morales, and I am joined by A-Wings, our OP, Marcel Manzano.
They are now.
Nate, call sign Chatter.
The Dice App. It's what's for breakfast.
And Nathan Oglesby, a.k.a. We don't know yet. We're still figuring it out.
Sounds good to me.
A little bit of a different crew here today. The plan was to make sure we had four players who were currently active on the X-Wing scene and give you our thoughts on the Phantom 2 spoilers, the system open information that we now have, and how to prepare for that new format. Quick Patreon update. Everything has shipped. If you were supposed to receive something and you haven't gotten your cards or your templates or whatever you're supposed to do, just let me know ASAP. I'll be straightforward. The Patreon creator interface is not very intuitive. So I very well could have just made a mistake, forgot to print a label, forgot to stuff something. I mean, it can happen really easily. So if you haven't received something, just send me an email and I can fix it. For the next wave of stuff, I do want to talk about what Patreon rewards are happening. If you're a patron, you participated or probably participated in the polls that I put up on Patreon trying to figure out what we were going to make. And we decided on a couple of different things here. So the winning boat, and they only won by 9 votes, were some Errata pilots plus Kylo Ren. So because I wanted to do something for each faction and there wasn't a pilot that has been eroded yet for the Empire. So I figured we throw in Kylo Ren in the silencer. We're going to have an errata Biggs and also an errata contracted scout with the corrected slots. We're going to do a little bit of mixture of some original art and also some movie still art that we are putting together right now. And with some of those savings, we're actually going to be able to do a couple of the Wave 12 and fan favorite cards that people were thinking about. More details to come there, but that is exciting.
Unlock the hologram.
All right, gentlemen, so the plan today is to start by talking about the Phantom 2 article that dropped the other day. The plan is to, go through the cards that have been spoiled and just give our thoughts on it. Nathan, we got a PS1 Sheeta Pied pilot. Can you read that ability for me?
When you perform the coordinate action after you choose a friendly ship and before it performs a free action, you may receive 2 stress tokens to remove 1 stress token from it.
Awesome sauce.
I love that.
So, yeah, this ability is pretty interesting. I think the biggest thing about AP5 is the fact that he is PS1 and only 15 points. You get the coordinate action in your list for 15 points plus a pretty sweet ability. Marcel, before we jumped on here, you were thinking about some builds for him.
Well, I'm not sure about builds. I think this is going to be kind of a default with inspiring recruit because of the double stress. Then you take the new droid that we'll talk about here in a minute that lets you, it's kind of like a pseudo integrated astromech with guidance chips as a freebie. For 17 points, you have kind of a backward Ahsoka type of thing, but that you're also, where you're giving out actions to somebody else at range 1 and 2, but you're doing it at the very beginning of combat. I mean, at the very beginning of activation, which is range 1. And one of the things that, for example, that can help this be really effective, I think in the example they showed it with Dash, but whether it's Dash, Lebo, or any of the other ships that have, post-maneuvering, if you have somebody that's in a position to block you or if you're going to run into somebody, it gives you the option to go in and move yourself out of the block and be able to clear your maneuver, finish your move and still be able to take your actions afterwards. Or if you pair them with anybody with push the limit, whether they have good greens or not, you stress yourself, you take 2 actions, next turn you clear the stress with him, you either take both of your actions and then you PTL, you know, green maneuver and take your regular action, three actions, or you take just the one action, take a regular white maneuver, take two more actions with push the limit, and then the next round, if he's still alive, which is likely the case because he has a total of five and then chopper and one more, six, seven health. Yeah, you're basically getting a ship with three actions every turn.
So I had a quick question. Like, are you allowed to push the limit off of coordinate?
Absolutely.
Yep, you can push the limit off any time as long as it's only once per round.
So this could be like a really great combo wombo. So, and I like how it's happening before a lot of other things, because if you get stressed out by Asajj or something else last round, boom, it's gone, and you're kind of like back in the fight. Because there's a lot of times like Ahsoka will be able to try to give like ability to somebody or an action, but because they're stressed, she can't do that. This circumvents those situations.
Another value just with AP5, let's say you're not even trying to leverage the ability because let's say you decide you have to cut out points and you can't afford the double stress. Just having a PS1 with coordinate at 15 points is a huge value. And he's going to give you a pseudo Biggs effect. You know, if you can just leverage his coordinate for a few rounds and get into an advantageous position and get the lead in a game, you know, your opponent's all of a sudden going to start focusing on this AP5 that's giving out free actions. And he's like, okay, you can kill this 15-point ship while I attack you with the rest of my list.
Yeah, and then if you use Chopper or something else, then you're just wasting your time and your attacks trying to kill the thing that's worth the least amount of points. But it's probably like a little bit of a troll there that's just trying to like frustrate you enough to make it kind of seem like it's important.
He could be pretty survivable, you know. It's a stat line of a hawk, and those don't always die as quick as you want them to.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can throw Rey on there or Pulse Rey shields, but I think Rey is probably a better crew option if you're just trying to leverage that ability and make him a little tanky.
I'm gonna just do a quick cut in here. We can hear your wife clear as day talking about Wednesday night or something like that. Just a heads up, just in case.
Yeah, sorry, I asked her to leave.
We can still hear her.
Get out.
As a good nerd should.
There's no wing.
Alrighty. And then another point here, I was just kind of looking at some math. You can get a Lothal Rebel naked plus AP5 for 50 points. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to be a good build, but the Phantom 2 title, when you have it docked on a ghost, you know, does give you a ship that can coordinate that is protected. So the Phantom 2 title reads, you know, you can perform, you know, attacks out the back. But the bottom section here says, while you are docked at the end of the activation phase, so this is after everything is moved, so basically pilot skill 13, the ghost may perform a free coordinate action. So you can perform that action on another ship, maybe an ace nearby, and with 50 points left in your squad, you might be able to find something there. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody finds a really good combination of a Lothal with a Phantom 2 and AP5 with something else that's really powerful. And my four dice is nothing to bat your eyes at.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even thinking about something similar to what Nathan Idy was flying with Ahsoka and Biggs and what was that, Cornhorn? Yep. Because let's say you've got this is a 50-point build, the one you're talking about, and then you put TLT on him so he can get, you know, take advantage of. Actually, he doesn't even need a TLT, just put an auto blaster turret on him. Mm-hmm. And then fire control system just so it has some little bit of damage potential. As it's moving around, keep things out of range one and have some actions. I mean, some modified shots front and back. That gives you about 40-something points still to be able to really put something that's beefy and survivable. And I think a really good Cornhorn build is usually, what, like 42 points, 43 points, something like that?
42.
Yeah, and that gives you the ability to not use push the limit on Corrin during your initial action. And then as long as you're within range two, once combat starts, then you can reposition them to where you want them and push the limit off of that if you need to. So, yeah, I agree. This is this is good. I don't know if it's, you know, for 3 points less with Zeb, if it's worth the double shot. Your second shot from your turret, but it opens up different possibilities for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So then we have Zeb in the Phantom 2. He's sitting at, how many points is that? Sorry, I didn't write 16. That one down. 16 points. Nate, I need your patented sound when something really is not very good. You can go ahead whenever you're ready.
Meh.
Yep. I mean, I feel in reality, there's no reason to take him at all. I mean, unless
what was the point of taking Zeb, like, in the beginning? Was because he was cheap as hell and he gave you the double shot, right? No one ever really liked to use Zeb's ability. I mean, were there situations you could use Zeb's ability? Yeah, but it wasn't really necessary. So, I mean,
right. You didn't build for his ability.
Oh, I mean, I totally like, built for his ability all the time. I build my whole list around it every single time. That's my E piece of everything.
And here, you know, at PS3, if you're going to be using a shuttle, you're going to be using one of the other ones because they're just better. He's at this awkward mid PS where you're not going to use him to dock either because he's not cheaper than AP5. So don't use Zeb. I mean, is everybody in agreement there? Marcel?
Yeah, no reason.
The only thing I would say maybe use Zeb is this: they're all unique pilots. And if for whatever reason you have this, you know, you come up with this great idea of just giving a crap load of actions to a single ship and you want to double coordinate on the same ship and just give it 4 or 5 actions and have double support for one ridiculously tanky, powerful ship, then this is the next cheapest one. And it's also, since it could cancel crits before hits, it's got a little bit of a staying power. So if you can imagine Zeb, the pilot skill one guy, a push the limit powerhouse. And then with push the limit, you have 2 actions plus 2 more. That's 4 actions altogether. And at the end of the day, the pilot skill one guy clears all the stress anyway.
Yeah, but you're throwing an extra 16 points to get a push the limit?
No, you're getting a put. I think there's a difference between a push the limit, between a second action and a third and fourth action. Once you start getting into the 4 actions and during different parts of the movement, and different parts of the game where it's not just when you take your action, but before you even move. I think there's some merit to that, especially if you know, for example, on this guy, you can put intelligence agent. So you know where ships are going nearby and you're being able to coordinate and do some maneuvering to create blocks and do other things. So I think there might be that. I mean, if we're trying to come up with why would anybody ever fly this, I think that's really the only thing is you're trying to get 4 or 5 actions into one super tanky ship.
Yeah, you're trying to like turn into like a weird pseudo like advanced sensor so that way it can move or do things before it avoids the block maybe and does something beforehand. Or yeah, I get it. There's some there's something here. But I don't know if you're going to want to deal with Zeb to do that. Now, maybe AP5. Yeah, you might want to throw one in there, but to throw 2, I don't know. I don't see that happening very much.
You never know. I mean, not 4 or 5 actions might be a thing.
So I would say, Marcel, that is the corner case. And it should be explored for sure. But it's not going to, if you only have 1 in your list, it's not Zeb.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe the stronger point. 1.
Agreed. Zeb is the
number 2.
You don't have 17 points to go with the next one. You only have 16 and you want to get that extra one in and you already used up the 15 pointer. At that point, you know, he's
kind of reminds me of like 2 hawk builds. What happens? What's your first reaction when you see a 2 hawk build?
W.
What W?
Alrighty, so Marcel, let's take a look at Ezra Bridger. What's his ability?
Ezra Bridger. Actually, it's the same ability as the attack shuttle. It's when defending, if you are stressed, you may change up to two of your focus results to evade results. He does have an EPT, unlike the other two we just talked about. So he's 17 points. And to your point, Zeb, for 1 point less, has a weaker ability, plus doesn't have an EPT. So this is a much better option for you. And I think he's a really good candidate, depending on the dial. I'm assuming that the dial is going to be probably close to the attack shuttle. But assuming how the dial turns out, this is probably a good candidate for either rage-inspiring recruit or intelligence agent and push the limit.
So let me tell you what I'm looking at here. I am looking at a double stress bot thing. Some people are calling it the stress bug. And there's a lot of different ways you can go about it. I actually have it built in there. So Ezra on his own has the ability to be a little bit more survivable. And you can do, honestly, these builds that I'm about to give you with any of the attack shuttles, even AP5. But if you have the points, Ezra's going to be able to live a little bit longer because he'll be able to convert those focuses to evades. So here's a couple of the builds. So you can take all of them have R3A2. So you got R3A2 plus Baze Malbus. So
Wait. Did you just say tactician and the...
I didn't get there yet.
Oh. We didn't?
I didn't get there. So
you didn't get there? Because I was just thinking about that right now. I was like, oh my God, okay, never mind.
I forget what R3A2 is. Like, I'm sorry, I'm a droid racist. All their names sound alike.
It's R is a stress bot. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So R3A2 is a stress bot. He says when attacking, something along the lines of you can take a stress to give a stress. Here are your options here. You got R3A2, the stress bot, with Baze Malbus. You have the ability to stress multiple targets, assuming, of course, that you miss your first attack, that comes in at 22 points. Then you can do R3A2 plus tactician to double stress the same target as long as it's within range 2. That comes out to 21 points. You could take R3A2 with gunner for the possibility to stress any a single target at any range. Of course, again, assuming you miss the first shot. And you can add predator for the Baze or the Gunner version to be a little bit more consistency with the missing on purpose. You reroll one of the dice, one of your hits, to try to get a miss.
You know, he also has potential as a support platform. You know, these are all, you know, the new Hawks, right? So you could do a buffing Ezra counter to those, you know, the debuffing stress Ezra. You could do weapons engineer with M9G8, which is the same thing that Shara Bay does, but a lot cheaper. And you could throw elusiveness on there for the defensive stress. So he could run around and do his coordinating, take a target lock on the first turn, coordinate as you guys enter combat. If he gets targeted, he can use elusiveness to get a stress for his defense. I mean, it's not going to be great for the rerolls, but we'll give you that stress token that you want.
Yeah, awesome. So I think Ezra has a lot of different... The EPT really opens up a lot of things. His ability to be a little bit more defensive is really great. So I think Ezra is going to be a really popular ship that people are going to try to make work right away because he has a lot of different possibilities. And double stressing people is really good. I love the kind of like jankiness there, Nathan, that you showed us with those combos. I mean, those are definitely fun and have some possibility. And like you said, you know, we know the Shara Bay's ability is really good, but you can get it cheaper. Why not, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be super great offensively. If you want to run the Inspiring Recruit Rage combo, I think the other shuttle is probably better at 22 points.
Right, and you get three attack dice on the other one. And I guess one thing we haven't specifically stressed is the other reason I think this stress bug is also really good is because it has double arcs. It has arcs in the front and in the back. So, I mean, you're covering a huge amount of the board. Let's say you're using the Baze Malbus version. You can shoot somebody out the front and then the back.
That's when she's on two sides, really?
Yes.
Wait, these things, these little things have two arcs?
Uh-huh.
No freaking
tail gunner.
No freaking way. And then they shoot... What? Oh, yeah, I see right there on the little picture. They've got the front and the back.
Crap.
Oh, God.
Do we know if it has a special name, or is it just the rear arc? Can we use tail gunner on it?
That is a great question. I don't know if that's been specified. That would be, oh man.
What'd you say, tail gunner? What else?
Well, does tail gunner work on this? Because it does have a rear arc. It just depends on how it's worded.
Tail gunner says if you have an auxiliary firing arc, right? So, I mean.
No, it says if you have, hold on.
A tail gunner only works on the rear arc, not special firing arc or auxiliary firing arc. Right. So it's no good on the ghost.
Right, it has to say rear-facing auxiliary arc. So I know this is not necessarily an official answer, but...
Nope, make it official.
Speak
for FFG. They love it when you do that.
Yet another squad builder allows you to equip it. So maybe? Maybe it works. We have to find out the wording. So no official stamp on that one yet, but... Maybe. That's a great point. So the tail gunner, another thing that could work on this ship, possibly.
I didn't know that this thing could shoot out of the back. That makes it, like, you know, one from, like, a possibility. Now it's like, wow, okay. There's some real stuff.
It's here. A lot cheaper than Braylon.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah. This thing is going to be, like, yeah. The thing is going to be trouble.
Blowing minds.
Do you got, like, a explosion, like, sound effect?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
We got editing then.
Alrighty. So, and then we finish off with Fen Rao. His ability reads. It's pretty long. We did get this one a spoiler before, but just in case, a refresher. It says, when an enemy ship inside your firing arc at range 1 to 3, so that's the front or the back, okay, becomes the active ship during the combat phase, if you are not stressed, you may receive 1 stress. If you do, that ship cannot spend tokens to modify its dice during this round. So, you know, the ability is kind of really similar to the bullseye firing arc, except that it needs to happen for the entire round. It's pretty conditional because you do have to have them in the arc, but you have 2 of them, so you have a chance, and you're at PS9, so a barrel roll could get you into position, or, you know, somebody coordinating to you at like PS1 or something. I don't know. So I'm, you know, one of the things I was thinking about here is, you know, why would you take him? So you can maybe give an argument for coordinating a lower PS ship into position at PS9 if you're Fen Rao. If you can't, for instance, afford to go up to the ghosts and be able to have a phantom dude docked. But the ability on its own, honestly, is not bad. It's being able to lock out tokens for an entire turn for a ship is definitely one way to hurt a ship.
It's a permanent 4-lock for a round.
Yeah.
I was also thinking it's like a megalir lock.
Well, it's an offensive 4-lock.
It's a better Ahsoka as well. I mean, Ahsoka caps out at 9. You can give Fen Rao a VI, and he's pretty much giving coordinate at the same time as Ahsoka would at the beginning of the combat phase, because he's going to move last.
Yeah, great point. Great point. So, you know, I think he has some, you know, some utility. I think he might get some use here. It just depends on if you have the points or if you're going to try to build. I think the list that you have, you could have had with Ahsoka, is a little tough now because Biggs has been nerfed really hard. Which you saw a lot of Biggs plus Ahsoka. So Fen Rao is a little bit more survivable with his 4-hole, 1 shield. And you can toss in an astromech if, let's say, you had room for Chopper, which we'll get to, and be able to toss out a couple of upgrade cards to regen. So, I mean, I think that's a great transition. Marcel, can you read Chopper for me?
Action. Discard 1 other equipped upgrade card to recover 1 shield. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Get rid of something else and get a shield. Where I think you know, now that we have so many different upgrades that are 0 points, this is really good. For example, you can take this and
guidance chips.
You can take this and guidance chips. But I'm talking about even for the T70. If you take this with just power. So for the same points, now you take this, your integrated astromech, and then you give it a 0 point. Actually, you can't give it a 0 pointer, right? Never mind, I was thinking something completely different. But anyway, you could take this with something that has an EPT and give it a 0 point EPT if you're running low on points. And you can still pop the EPT first to regen a shield. And then on top of that, once, you know, kick integrated astromech later. And unfortunately, none of the Y-Wings have any PT, but even the Y-Wings, they have the 0 point bomb title. No, the 0 point bomb
loadout. Torpedo card.
Torpedo card. And then they have guidance chip. And then you can give it the front title. And I believe I saw somebody either on Reddit or on Facebook somewhere talking about you can give it, it might have even been you, Nathan, that you can give it a TLT, give a Y-Wing a TLT and put the BTLY title on it and then let it shoot 3 times out of the front. And then the first time you get shot, pop the BTL title. So then your next go around, you open up your full 360 arc again with the TLT after your first pass. You regenerate a shield, and then you still have guidance chips and bomb loadout for two more shields. So in total, you're getting 3 extra life on that Y-Wing for no extra points. So you still have a 25-point Y-Wing with 11 hull, and it's shooting 3 times on the first pass.
I think that's the home for this droid, is on Y-Wings. You know, Y-Wings haven't really had access to regen because they have such crappy greens, but this looks great on Horton's own, because he doesn't really need his actions anyways. So you throw it with the title on Horton, bomb loadout, and chips, that's 3 extra shields for 1 point. Seems good.
Yeah, and the idea that you can basically, you know, you stay engaged until you take some damage, and then you just start to kite like normal. And Horton is a great example. He doesn't really need his action, so you can afford to use the chopper action to be able to regen shields. And even if you're, let's say, a gold squadron Y-Wing, because you're probably either going to go with Horton or a gold at the lowest cost, you can basically do the same thing. You will be short actions when you regen, but TLT is still on its own really efficient. And if the low agility that we have now with a lot of one AGI and zero AGI ships running around, you probably are still hitting, or at least you have a better chance, you know. And even if you have to take a turn off, if you're kiting, they're probably not shooting at you, so you probably have the time to do it.
I guess
you just got to remember that you need to take damage in order to pop off that BTL title. So you got to stay engaged until you take some damage.
Well, someone was asking about like whether you can regen more shields than what you start with. That was Darwin, right? Darwin's asking like if you can go beyond what you start with chopper to start stripping things off.
You cannot.
Yes. But in also regards
per the last FAQ.
Oh yeah. Also, isn't this card very thematic for like chopper just ripping things apart and hoping to like get some kind of shield back, but you have to sacrifice something?
It looks like he's in the back of the courier droid card.
Yeah, I think that's a crazy.
On the other one, it looks like he's chopping the courier up on his card.
Yeah, especially because the courier droid is 0 points. So it's like, all right, you worthless thing, let's kill you and get something out of you. Why not, right? I mean, you have, if the crew slot is open, you don't have any space and you want to use chopper, there's a 0 point crew. And are there any other 0 point crew cards?
Chopper.
Besides, there you go. There's chopper. Yeah.
So, cannot destroy himself. Does not compute.
Correct. Awesome.
Yeah, but even this title here, the courier droid, adds to the whole maybe Zeb is viable thing. if you want to double act, if you want to double action with or double coordinate, because at this point he's 18 points, but then you give him Chopper, you give him Courier Droid, and you give him a guidance chip, or yeah, I guess guidance chip, or so he's 18 points. No, he's 17 points, and for 17 points, he is got 4, 1, 2, 3. That's 7 hull. I mean, that's 7 damage he can take. That's not bad.
Well, he goes great with Moff Gergerod, the one that the Imperial crew that chunks the other crews out the airlock. Mm-hmm. Whenever you get a crit, this goes great with on any Desi, really. I mean, Oiken would like it as well, because he gets to deploy at pilot skill 8 instead of, 3?
Something like that.
I did that with a long time ago, like when Rack first came out. I did something like that where I had Moff Jar Jar and I had like 2 intelligence agents on like a decimator or something weird.
One less point now, 0 points. All right, Droid,
that's,
you gotta go.
It's limited, kick. So you only get to use 1. So,
right. So, are you're telling me that they looked at Courier Droid and went, "Oh man, Moff Gerard, OP, make it limited."
He's also good on any Doom Shuttle, too, if you want to set one of those up across at pilot skill 8.
Another place that it could be good is that if you're any mid PS ship and you can find an advantage by being placed a little bit later. Of course, you're not going to be placed after anything 9 or above, but the PSA can help you. And it, if you don't have the points and you're just filling the crew slot and use it if you can, it's 0 points. It didn't cost you anything. And then lastly here, Nathan, you had put in some jank here that I just thought was absolutely hilarious.
Oh, yeah. You put it in on New Han. You put it on New Han and deploy right there in the enemy's deployment zone at PS0.
Oh, that's so mean.
Oh, yeah. And you basically force them to...
That actually makes that card kind of semi-interesting
but
now.
But they're allowed to... Sorry, they're allowed to place right next to you, though, at that point, right?
I mean, they can't be within range. Oh, wait,
yeah,
you're
they
right.
They can, because they're
placing. Sure, yeah, they can put right in front of you.
They can be anywhere they want.
Oh, man. Oh, that's interesting. Holy crap. New Han is,
It's still bad.
Oh, yeah, it's still
yeah,
bad.
It's horrible. It's hilarious.
Just throw your guys at him or something. But it just makes it at least kind of fun to mess with. Ruin someone's day on setup.
Like I wanted that spot. I always set up in that corner. Like, this is my corner. That's great. All righty. Next, I want to talk about the flight astromech. Excuse me, flight assist astromech. That one reads: you cannot attack outside your firing arc. That's really important with this card. You cannot attack outside your firing arc because people got excited with like turrets and things, and it doesn't work. But anyway, it says after you execute a maneuver. If you did not overlap a ship or obstacle and there are no enemy ships inside your firing arc at range 1 to 3, you may perform a free boost or barrel roll action. So, I think this card, it's 1 point, and it's an astromech, and I think it is amazeballs. I think this, while it's not necessarily an X-Wing fix, it is a bump to the X-Wing. We're going to see... at least a couple people. I know I'm going to experiment with it. Why not? It's not unique. You could put it on 4 X-Wings if you want. One of the spots I'm looking at, I mean, automatically I saw, wait a second, I can get free boost or barrel rolls. Let's take a PS10 Wes Jansen and, boost around. Oh, look, I don't have you an arc. Oh, I get a free boost or a barrel roll. Now I do, and now I'll be able to strip some of your tokens. I think it gives old style ships that could only in X-Wing, the ones that you can only basically just move and take an action. You get an additional reposition, no penalty besides having to equip the droid. And you'll get a shot, hopefully, after the reposition. The floor is open.
Yeah, I'll go. I was actually looking at it. I do see where it makes sense with the T-65s, but I actually like it with the T-70. I know that the T-70 already has the boost, but you can put this with a T-70 and some intensity And it gives the T-70 not just a boost, but it also gives it the barrel roll. You never know which one you need. And then you can also put comm relay and just start stocking, you know, put a an evade pretty consistently, being able to get it in there and get three actions. So you can get you move first, then you do your boost barrel roll, whichever you want, and then you can intensity a token, and then either take a target lock or another token. Or what I like specifically about the T-70 is it can double reposition. You can, with intensity, you have a T-70 with this and intensity, you can move, not get what you want, barrel roll from this droid, get your focus token, and then be still able to do the boost to get exactly where you want. So it just gives you a lot of options.
Yeah, there's like three actions right there. Holy crap.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if you have like some, it's really good. Really.
Guys, Blue Ace.
Oh man.
That's the one, is that the one that gives that 90 degree
Yeah, it's like boost? A hard one boost.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah.
Like suddenly okay now?
I mean, come on.
Like, it's like 26 points, right?
I mean, why not? Why not Blue Ace? You know, he doesn't have an EPT, unfortunately. But I mean, it makes it, he might be able to get a shot now.
Yeah, he gets double reposition, or he gets a free reposition plus
focus or target lock.
He's regular action now. Yeah. So I mean, this, why not? I mean, it's free.
I don't know how,
guys,
I feel.
I'm gonna bring. I'm bringing Blue Ace to league.
28 points. I say go for it. I love the Snap Wexley combo too, because Snap already gets that free boost. So now he gets a free barrel roll if he needs it on top of his other action.
Yeah, you know, it's something that's really going to help the mid-PS X-Wings as well, because you're usually in that spot where, you know, I could really use an extra action here. Boom. There you got it.
Yeah, so actually, it's gonna be cool. Those X-Wings usually struggle, not just those X-Wings, those ships in general usually struggle at target locking. So you can go in and, oh man, I missed my range by a fraction. Or, well, since they're out of range for the target lock, you can boost forward for free and you can still get your target lock. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is going to be cool. You can fit four rookie pilots, so that's the 65s. With a Z95 and this, I think automatically the list becomes better. Are you going to win a tournament with it? I have no idea. But you have four X-Wings that can boost and use integrated astromech plus a Z95. Or you take four T-70s with flight astromech and you go to town. you play some X-Wing. I think this droid is significantly better than the other one-point droid that was commonly used with these guys, which was R2 Astromech, and it made all ones and, I think, all twos green, I think it was. Ones and twos. And while the R2 was valuable coming out of a K-turn or a Talon roll, I think with this ability to do a double reposition now with these ships, you might find yourself not needing to do the barrel roll, or the Talon roll or the K-turn as much. You'd be able to get your guns more on target and be able to spread out your arcs, especially if you have low PS ships, you know, make sure that you're getting shots in on people.
I can see Blair Bunky. He continually mixing around with a couple Zs, Bs, and X-Wings. So I can see him putting this to some good use.
I'm excited about that droid. I think that's going to open up some possibilities and put some X-Wings on the table, which is always good in a game named X-Wing. And lastly, we get to Maul. Not Darth Maul. Not yet, at least. Just Maul. Broken and sad Maul.
I had a brother once.
That's right. So his ability reads, Scum only. Ignore this restriction if your squad contains Ezra Bridger. When attacking, if you are not stressed, you may receive any number of stress tokens to re-roll that many attack dice. After performing an attack that hits, you may remove one of your stress tokens. So, let's take a look at this first from the Rebel side. Personally, I don't think this goes great with the Ezra pilot, because Ezra pilot wants to be stressed, and usually you're stressing yourself before combat. in order to use his defensive ability, because him being a mid PS ship, PS5, if you're trying to use this to stress him and then choose his defensive ability, it doesn't make sense if you're getting attacked by PS9 through or PS higher than 6. Unless we all of a sudden go back to a PS1 and 2 meta, then sure, it works. I think it synergizes really well with the crew card more than the pilot card. So Ezra Crew reads, when attacking, if you are stressed, you may change one of your focus results to a crit result. So the combo there is you would reroll with Maul, you get the stress, and then trigger Ezra's ability to change one of the focuses to a crit.
And then you could take the stress
but
off.
That costs you... Right, assuming that you hit.
Yeah.
But that costs you 6 points. And if you compare that... You know, now there's some different conditions there in order to do it. But if you compare that to Predator at 3 or Zuckuss at 1, which effectively, you know, re-rolling dice, you know, reducing agility is the same as kind of having more attacks. It's just in a different spot. You're still pushing through more damage.
This ensures that you have attack. It doesn't ensure that attack goes through per se, because Zuckuss is more of an insurance that damage will go through. This is just making sure you have an attack, and that's kind of fully loaded. Whereas if you just have normal modifications like target lock or focus, it'll essentially do the same thing as this, potentially.
Okay, so what this does, it gives you a... I think this is pointed wrong, by the way. I think this is costed wrong, not pointed. I think this should be a 2-point upgrade. I don't think it's a 1-point upgrade, but I think it should definitely be a 2-point upgrade. And it should ultimately be with Ezra. Ezra is 3, I believe, right?
Yep.
So combined with Ezra, it should be a 5-point boost, not a 6-point swing. So I think that's probably what's going to keep this off the table. But basically what it does is it gives you the ability to do a target lock focus without taking any actions. And it opens up your actions for, you know, where I'm looking at this potentially is something like... YT 1300, and you can take evade as your primary action, and then you get rerolls and turn something into a crit, so you get a soft focus and a reroll. That's probably something you can do. You can also put this on a kind of ECX, and that way if you want to take your fire control system slot and move that into some other type of slot, you can, you know, some other type of system upgrade, you can do that and still be able to get your rerolls and your focus into crit, your Ezra ability. So I think there may be potential uses for it. I just don't think it's going to be... I just think it's costed wrong.
Do you know why?
It's not a bad card. It's just not the right cost.
Because Inspiring Recruit and Rage, that combo... gives you the rerolls and a focus token for 2 points. And you throw that, I mean, that's a common build for Ezra Attack Shuttle, you know, at 22 points. And it's just strictly better than Maul.
You're completely right about that. And that's actually the way I fly my Chewbacca. My Chewbacca, I put him with, I put him with a title, two inspiring recruits and Rage. That way I can take an evade and a Rage as my actions with experimental interface to get the double and then clear all the stress at once. But, and that's, even that is cheaper than this, or it's about the same price, but not every ship that wants to get that type of effect has an EPT. So that's where this comes in. Some of those don't get the Rage EPT. So you want to, you know, the VCX doesn't get that. And then maybe the pilot skill 3, YT-1300 doesn't get any PT, so again, it's situational. Is it great? Probably not. Are you going to use it? Probably not.
I think why it's a 3 is because it says after you're performing an attack and that hits, you get to remove one of your stress tokens. So even if you, for instance, I don't know, K-turn and then want to shoot at like a Lambda shuttle or something, or use like a TLT or something that's more likely to go through, that gets rid of your stress. So it's kind of like a stress reliever, even as long as you're attacking something. So that's why it's worth 3 points, I think.
Actually, I didn't even look at it that way because the removing stress ability comes in handy even if you don't hit anything. I mean, even if you don't use his ability to reroll.
You don't have to use his ability. It just says, it's a totally different sentence. After performing an attack that hits, you may remove one of your stress tokens. So as long as you're hitting stuff, you get to remove your stress token. So it's not bad on that account. I think everyone saw that, if you attack, you have to get stress, and then if you get stress, then you remove the stuff. No, it's two totally separate things, I think.
It's still 3 points. That's what I'm struggling with. I'm struggling with 3-point cost. And I do think that it's not two like Marcel wants it to be because of that last sentence. And maybe somebody can find some kind of wombo combo using that. Or you limit yourself to just rerolling one dice each turn and make sure that you can clear the stress. We also got to take a look at the scum side.
Oh my God, the scum side is going to be brutal.
Well, I compare it to Zuckuss because effectively, you know, they do the same thing different ways, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. If you can, you know, minus one evade is when attacking is equal to plus one hit, you know, whether if that happens in the same attack. So we don't see Zuckuss too much competitively. So I don't know, you know, for 3 points, if this is gonna get going, unless somebody can figure out how to leverage that last sentence there, and then comparing it to Dengar Crew, who's also 3 points, you can avoid getting the stress and possibly do two dice against unique pilots. But of course, with Maul, you can do as many dice as you want. But as soon as you start rerolling two and three dice, then you might not be able to use that reroll ability for a while because you can't be stressed in order to do this because they made it fair. And, you know, maybe it has some possibility with comboing potential, but as of right now, I don't think it's going to be top tier.
Yeah. But, to Nate's point, I think it does make a little bit of sense with, if you don't want to use expertise on Dengar, for example, you can, Dengar's got decent greens, and you might want to do you might be forced to do a two right loop, and as long as you hit, you know, to keep people in arc, and as long as you hit, you can potentially remove the stress. So you probably still want the Dengar anyway. Actually, you can't put Dengar on Dengar. So there you go. You can't put Dengar on Dengar, so you can put Maul on Dengar.
Yeah, but if you do the right sloop, then you don't have any modification for your attack.
Okay, then put Predator and him, and then you get a total of all. You get a full target lock every turn.
Why don't we just use expertise instead and target lock for our actions?
Yeah, both don't work when they're stressed. I'll say one place that works great for Maul is Epic. He's totally broken on a Corvette or a...
Oh, jeez, yes. Oh, my God. It went into our Outrider doc already. Like, it's happening as long as this comes out before Outrider.
I don't know Epic, so why is this broken on Epic?
Because Epic ships don't take stress.
Oh.
So you take this guy plus Maul and Zuckuss together, you're just trashing things. It's great.
And on the Rebel side, you just have to throw Ezra Shuttle somewhere in your Epic list, which is huge, and then Maul rerolls all of those Harpoon missiles and the primary from the CR-90. It's gross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ordnance tubes and what was it? Oh God, what did Rick have? He had Rourke on it. So Rourke, Jan Ors, and ordnance tubes, and he just blew up everyone.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. I'm pumped. It's gonna be ridiculous and hilarious. So yeah, that is the Phantom 2 preview. If you have any thoughts on it that maybe we didn't cover, feel free to comment on our Facebook or give us a call on our voicemail, because we do that and listen to them and reply to them. So that's fine. System Open Series, guys. We finally got some announcement officially by FFG about the System Open, or System Opens. they have spoiled for us 6 of the 15 locations, because in the article it says there's going to be 15, but they've only given us 6. That means that we're missing 9 of them. I hope Australia gets one, because they haven't had one yet, so hopefully they can get one. And hopefully we see a couple more in the U.S. So currently scheduled is November 17th, which from when you're listening to this, it is next weekend. So yes, the official announcement from FFG comes 4 days before the event starts. Then in March, we have at Adepticon, which had been called the Hoth Open. I don't know. We'll get to the naming in a minute. A couple days later, March 24th to the 25th in Birmingham in the UK, April 7th through the 8th in Hanover, Germany, April 21st to the 22nd in Bologna, Italy, maybe, and May 24th through the 27th in San Francisco, California at KublaCon. So, couple of things I want to talk about before we go too far. With the 2 dates, as a podcast, we will for sure be at Adepticon. It used to be called the Hoth Open. I'm not sure if they're going to be calling them by the separate planets this year, because all of them, it sounds like all of them are going to have this bounty hunter themed thing. And on the KublaCon website, it actually, under the registration, hasn't opened yet. It lists it still as Mandalore. So I don't know if they just did like copy paste or they're going to have their own planet names. So I don't know if they're all going to be considered Mandalore open.
I guess we'll find out in Pennsylvania, right?
Well, Pennsylvania officially for sure we know is Mandalore. The question is when we get to the ones after that, whether they'll be called Mandalore or not.
Is Mandalore a planet?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought Mandalore was a title.
No, you're thinking Mandalorian. Well, it's a person.
We don't need to get into like.
The Mandalorian is a soldier, Mandalorian soldier.
Oh god!
But the leader of the Mandalorian. Mandalorian.
Oh my god! The timeline is so complicated. Oh my god!
Anyway, we'll leave the worst on this.
Where's Alex? Come on. Okay, no, Alex Mandalore has a job
the
now.
Indomitable, Mandalore the First, Mandalore the Insatiable, Mandalore the...
That's what I'm talking about, the Mandalore. Mandalore is a title. Boba Fett was a Mandalore. Jango Fett was a Mandalore.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's so not complicated.
Let's move on, because I'm sure somebody in their car is going like, no! Don't care.
YouTube goes on for 5 hours.
Alex, the next archives is Alex.
Mandalore is a planet they decide to settle on. Let's just the Earth.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Oh god.
Go ahead. Okay. Back at it.
Anyway, one exciting thing is today, like literally about an hour before recording, we got the official green light from Cascade Games. So Cascade Games is the event coordinator that's putting on all the system opens, that we have official permission to stream and record from any system open in the United States. So we're going to be taking advantage of that. We'll for sure be at Adepticon. I know that I'm going to be going to San Francisco, and we'll see what other system opens are going to be happening in the US that we can give you guys content from. We'll need your guys' support to get it done, because, you know, patrons, you guys are awesome, and we're gonna be flying places and getting you guys some content, and that should be super exciting. So I wanted to spill those beans, because I got super jazzed when I read my email today. I was like, oh, yes, more details to come, but I'm excited.
Now, for Adepticon.
Yep.
My guess is, because I know we talked about San Francisco, you're going to go stream, and I will probably go by myself to just go play, because San Francisco is awesome. Mm-hmm. The Adepticon, you're going to play, right?
Yeah, I'm planning on playing. We'll do a little community cooperation on that one. And somebody who's not playing
that,
on day
yeah,
one, you know,
on that flight,
we'll swap it out.
Jump out, kind of exactly. Like what we did, do at Worlds and such.
Exactly.
Okay.
What are these people in Philadelphia going to do? I mean, release this, what, today? And they have, like, 5 days to, like, get into PAX. And I don't think PAX tickets are they necessarily...
They're sold out.
Yeah, so it's like, did they get any forewarning about this?
Well, so PAX unofficially spoiled it a few weeks ago now. And people just started spreading it around on Reddit and on Facebook. So people got signed up. I think, though, this one, the Mandalore at PAX Unplugged, will be probably the lowest attendance out of all of them. And we'll just have to wait and see. Our friends over at the Carolina Crates are actually going to be setting up a camera. We don't know if they'll be able to stream or not, but they'll at least record and get us some information about what's happening over there. We were going to try to go, but it was just super short notice. And at least for streaming wise, my wife is going to be out of town that week, so I have to be with the baby. Anyway, let's talk about prizes here.
Man.
So, I mean, probably one of the coolest things about the System Open is that even if you just go to play and you go over, you walk out with some pretty cool stuff. Nathan, what is everybody getting?
Well, they're going to get an alt art damage deck with Boba Fett on the front. And
yeah,
the
baby.
Millennium Falcon title and the Slave One title. Both with pretty sweet alt arts. Looks like the Falcon's flying away from the Death Star blowing up.
And that is double-sided, I believe. And the other thing you get is you are given the permission to buy the Mandalore mat. Congratulations. Okay? Or they say on the website, like, you have the ability to receive it. Some places will probably sell it. Others will do raffles. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, you might get a Mandalore mat. Nate, what happens if you make stage two?
So you get one pair of acrylic target lock tokens. I think they look kind of like the ones from last year. They're just a different color. Plus you get two.
No, I think in the picture they showed them. I think they have like a scum symbol on it.
Yeah, they got a Boba Fett and they got something else on it. They got a Boba Fett helmet and the second one has some type of like lightning bolt looking thing. I think that looked pretty cool. I think everything they did this time, it looks pretty cool, but yeah, it's everything is scum related.
Which is cool, I think. Like, I was not a big fan of the Target Lux last year. I thought they were kind of eh. These ones, oh yeah, they do have little Mandalorian symbols. Oh, that looks cool. Yeah, they have like probably the one stripe, two stripe, three stripe kind of deal, or maybe whatever.
No, it's just one pair.
That's it?
Just one. Yeah, just it? One pair.
I thought they were like,
yeah, that means that's going to be very sought after.
Really?
Yep, just one.
Oh, wait, so you get that if you make two wins?
Two wins.
Oh, so is this the same format where...
That's what I was thinking.
You gotta win two out of your first three to advance to the next one?
Correct.
All right, because that's not the way... When I read it, when I read through the whole thing, I thought PAX was kind of its own little hybrid thing. I thought this was just a regular six-round tournament. And
no.
So this is the way that PAX is, where it's you got to be 2-1 in order to advance, and then you got to be at 5 wins in order to make the day two.
Yep, I have it all listed right
yeah,
there.
So it says,
yeah, I mean,
two doubles.
No, I got it. I got the way you said it. But the way that when I read the PAX article first,
uh-huh.
coming straight from PAX, it sounded like they were doing their 6-round Swiss the day before the three on the three.
So there is a 6-round Swiss tournament before that's called the Hyperspace Qualifier.
Uh-huh.
But only the winner gets an invitation to Coruscant.
Okay, and that's where I got confused, because every other one, the way that I read the article, is if you, let's say on Saturday, you go through and you go through the first, stage two, stage three, and well, I know we're going to go through the notes and go through that. And then the people that advanced with 5 wins to Sunday, to the second day, and they're flying in the stage three, elimination, if they get eliminated at that time, then at that point they have the ability to move to the qualifier, and depending on what round they're in, they get those rounds as a bye, and they pick up and still try to go undefeated, and if they go undefeated, they get the Coruscant. If you get eliminated during the top cut anytime before top 8, you can go and immediately sign up for the second chance tournament. And any rounds that you missed up to that point, you will receive them as a buy win.
Okay, sweet. There you go. Yeah, you're right. I just looked at that right now. So there you go. So you can jump into the hyperspace qualifier that's going on with stage 3. They might be having 2 hyperspace qualifiers. I mean, we'll have to wait and see what happens on Sunday.
Yep. It looks like there's 2 of them, judging by Adepticon's event schedule.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so they have a pre-hyperwave, and if you win 6-0 on that one, you advance. And then they have a Sunday hyperwave. If you get eliminated, if you don't make the top 8, you can go and register for.
Yeah.
And it's actually pretty cool. That gives a lot of people a lot of opportunities. But I know I'm jumping ahead, so sorry.
It's okay. let's finish up these prizes here. So if you make day 2, like you said, you get the Mandalorian target locks, the single set there. You get 2 double-sided Arabesh resistance sympathizer and Mandalorian mercenary. You also get a single plastic version of that card, and you also get a copy of last year's System Open Arabesh, Lothal Rebel, and Baron of the Empire card. Step 3, if you can get to stage 3, it's 5+ wins, and you get a set of alternate art ship cards that feature Boba Fett, Dengar, Bosk, and IG-88. So those look really cool. So you get a single set of those. You get make top 32. You get 10 acrylic shield tokens. They're in that like Boba Fett armor green. Top 16 players each get a set of bounty hunter themed range rulers. The split range rulers set. Top 8, you get your invitation to Coruscant Open, and you get 10 more shield tokens. And then you get to top 4. That's when you can get those Boba Fett templates that look super sweet, and I'm sure people are going to be freaking out for them. It's going to be pretty great. And then let's finish out here. System Open finalist. If you're in second place, you get a real sweet plaque and the feels bad of losing in the final. And the champion wins and gets free flight and accommodations to the 2018 Coruscant Invitational.
And some of those prizes are available just for participating in the hyperspace qualifier.
Like, which ones are like just for participating then?
All participants in the hyperspace qualifier get the acrylic target lock tokens and the alternate art Boba Fett ship card. At the end of round 1, they get the Bosk ship card. At the end of round 2, everyone gets the Dengar ship card. At the end of round 3, everyone gets the IG-88.
So do you get knocked out of the hyperwave then if you don't win? Or
That's a normal tournament.
So why won't you just do that and just get all the cards then?
Well, it's encouraging people to stick around and play. See, here's the thing. When people first saw the format, when people first saw the main format, people freaking out like, wait, you're telling me I'm going to play 3 rounds and I get knocked out and I can't play anymore? Well, hey, they're giving so many different opportunities. There are going to be several Hangar Bay events. There's going to be multiple hyperspace qualifiers. This is awesome. I think they have done a couple of different things here. They have made it so that the winner of that tournament, of the main System Open event, is going to have to go through a grueling process. Like, that person didn't submarine. Like, they had to, 1 loss or less, that is it. And then they have to go single elimination. I mean, it's, that winner is going to be huge. Like, that person really did some work. So that's going to be great.
Okay. So yeah, no, I agree with this because, I did talk to some of the dubs a while ago, and I said that I thought their process for Worlds was a little bit weird with the fact of, like, you know, they gave out, like, the tickets for the prize wall, right? And which was a great idea and everything, except that you only got the tickets if you were winning. And the thing is, winners, of course, get more and more tickets, and losers don't really get much. And so then losers couldn't really buy anything from the prize wall, and losers were probably the ones who don't typically win prizes and probably would have liked to use the tickets to buy prizes, whereas the people who are winning pretty much didn't really need them because they usually win all the things anyways. So I kind of told them, like, there's a weird kind of disjoint there that, you know, the rich kind of get richer, and like the people who really didn't get anything, walk away with anything, kind of didn't get anything. So I was like, how do you
quiet that peasant? My God. So whiny peasant.
Capitalism doesn't work. This is just my opinion.
So
it was just, I think this is a cool idea to kind of give people something. I mean, what am I? I'm participation trophies. Yeah, you can hate on me, whatever.
Yeah, I think I'm really excited for the format. I think it's going to be great. And again, to clear up the separate different stages in the main tournament, stage one is three rounds. If you go 2-1 or better, you move on to stage two. You play three more rounds. If you're 5-1 or better, you get into stage three, and then it is single elimination after that. If there's 300 people at the event, that makes a top 32.
Now, I wonder, this reminds me a lot of Campaign Against Cancer, the way that they do pods and they do three, and then people advance based on their record, and they repod you. I mean, I know this is more Swiss than pod, but it has that kind of feel to it. I wonder if they borrowed a little bit from that format to come up with this.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they were inspired. I like it. I think it's going to be new. We'll have boots on the ground there, figuring out.
I really
out,
like the MOB thing
and getting you coverage. Yes, and that's the next thing I was going to move on to. Where did I have those notes? Somewhere on there. Anyway, MOV doesn't matter.
It won't matter.
It does not matter because it's just by wins. You only continue through wins. There it is, list building and play style. Yeah, MOV doesn't matter at all because except for seeding when you get into the top 32, but I mean, you just want to win, right? But you have to remember that it doesn't mean, because MOV doesn't matter, doesn't mean that points don't matter, because you can still use a point locker to win a game, right? You're like, oh, I have a 60-point Miranda, and you don't have 60 points. I win, right? That's still going to be a viable strategy. So keep that in mind. But for instance, you don't have to worry about giving half points on a large base ship if you're about to win the game, right? So you won't get into that situation like, well, I don't want to get half points on this and win the game because then I might miss the cut by 10 MOV. That doesn't matter. You just got to win. Just win.
I mean, too, I think it's going to make people that are losing a lot more aggressive and not just go for the safe. Well, let me just go save some MOV. If you're losing, you're going to go every reference I'm thinking about is not PG. But you're going to go in, all the way in. And really just go for the win, because if you lose by 1 point, it doesn't matter. That MOV is not going to do you any good. You're either going to try to win or not. And I think that's probably a good thing. It takes one less thing away from your list building. A lot of good lists suffer from, they win consistently, but if they lose a couple times, they bleed MOV, and now that's not really an issue. It's just win, and I like it. It's pretty straightforward. All right, real quick, we got four of us here. Let's do a round robin prediction. What's gonna make it to the final?
I'm gonna say Nimiranda.
Nimiranda, you got one. Okay.
I'm gonna say there's gonna be Wookiees up there at the top table somewhere.
So what specifically are you saying? Are you saying four Wookiees, three Wookiees?
I think three Wookiees have the edge over four, just because they've got, you know, the more crew slots to work with and the EPT slot to work with as well.
Okay, so you got a three Wookiee list.
And I'll go Racklo. Rack quick draw.
Okay, and I will go with Bumpmaster and two Skurgs. Yep. That's just what won in Australia, and I think it's got a good shot to win again.
Did this week win in like New Zealand or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, Thweek won in like New Zealand or something.
Wait, he did?
Yeah,
New Zealand.
Are you eating any crow yet, Dion?
It's one tournament, and the dude is a phenomenal player.
So okay? You said Tweak will never win anything.
Well, I'm not eating crows because crows are gross. Let's continue. Let's finish the thing. Alrighty.
Wait, what was this list though? So, it was Tweak with what? Asajj?
Let's finish it. No, it was it was Asajj and a Bump Master.
Okay, cool.
No. And he used the PS condition almost every time. Not the ability. Yep. He actually used the ability one on Torkoal Mux, which I know.
Oh my god, it is the best thing ever. You can solo a list if you steal Torkoal Mux's ability of Tweak. It is hilarious. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yep.
Do you live in the Chicagoland area or plan on visiting? Come on down to Pastimes Comics and Games, the home of Gold Squadron, where we play X-Wing every Wednesday and have tournaments the first Sunday of every month. We also play Imperial Assault, Armada, LCG, and Destiny on different days. Visit our Facebook page, Pastimes Star Wars, for more information.
So, gentlemen, I want to thank you guys for joining me today. Another great episode, as usual.
Woo! Yeah. Nathan.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
I swear, guys, we didn't force him here. He's here by his own volition. He's super excited.
I have another prediction. I think that Ogilby is going to be a really, really up-and-coming player. He has tabled me twice with my best list, and he's thoroughly trounced me. So I predict that he's going to be going very far, very quick, very soon.
No pressure.
I think if Nathan had more time to play, I think I know you because you got military responsibilities and things you got to take care of on the weekends, and so we get it. But definitely, I'm coming for you this Wednesday, by the way, because you beat me last week. So coming for you.
Wait, did he beat you?
So
too?
Everybody,
I need to go practice against him.
All right, let's close this out. So thank you everybody for listening today. You can watch live X-Wing events and content at twitch.tv/GoldSquadronPodcast, including a couple regionals, which I'm on the verge of confirming that we'll be there and streaming officially. And we know for sure at least two system opens, and we'll see what else comes up next. You can watch X-Wing videos and replays of our streams on our YouTube channel. Just search up Gold Squadron Podcast. And lastly, if you enjoyed the show and all the content we do, and you want to help us continue doing that and get cool swag while doing it, go to patreon.com/Gold Squadron. And this is the only way I'm going to be able to go to California and bring you guys a stream. It's because my awesome patrons. Thank you,
Leon,
so much.
Leon, I got beef with you.
You got beef with me?
Okay. I am a Patreon, and I still have not got my cards.
Let me tell you this. Update your address. I have the cards in my X-Wing box. You haven't been to Pastimes in 4 weeks. And you have my Salt Squadron t-shirt that Kyle Thompson gave you still, and I'm waiting for it.
It looks so great on me.
Turns out I have beef with you. So for Marcel and Nate and Nathan, Gold Squadron out.
I forgot I have that shirt. I gotta find it.